any of these verses that God spoke to the Jews in the Old Testament, the way you do that, some people, they'll say, well, if that's the Jews, we can't pay no attention to it. Now, what you got to do is get those Pauline epistles and use that for your base. And any verse that don't contradict the Pauline epistle, you're okay to use. You're okay to use it. It jives with what Paul wrote to the church, then you're on good ground to use it. If it don't, then you'll have to realize God spoke it for another dispensation and put it where it's supposed to be. And this verse can be used for any dispensation or any group at any time. Turn me up just a little bit, Bill. It looks like you can just go ahead and do that without me having to ask every service. Y'all just turn it up automatically every time I open my mouth. All right? 2 Chronicles 7. Now, everything God said in the Bible, He said to one of three groups, Jews, Gentiles, church. And of course, as I said, you can use this. Look at it, verse number 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, that means all kinds of bad things are happening. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Well, that's a great thought there, humble themselves. You ever heard anybody pray, Lord, make me humble? The Lord didn't say for you to pray for Him to make you humble. He said, humble yourself. Believe me, you don't want to pray, God, humble me. He knows how to do it. You better just humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That verse ought to be put on every television commercial in America tonight. That ought to be on television 24 hours a day. CNN, news, everything. Folks, if we want God to heal our land, there ain't no politician, Democrat or Republican, can get this land straightened out. It's going to take people returning back to God. We're going to have to get back to God. We're going to have to go back to God. We're going to have to get right with God. The only hope our churches have, the only church America has as a nation, is turning back to God. While you sit here tonight, there are forces, there are groups at work right now to take away our liberty in America. The environmental movement that I preached on the other night, I'm going to be doing it here in a few weeks, on a couple of weeks maybe on Sunday night, is nothing more than an attempt to control the population through a fake scare and making you think we ain't got enough trees and plants and stuff to live off of. It's to control the wealth of America and redistribute it to third world countries and just put us all on one level and get the world ready for the Antichrist. That's all it is. And I'm going to be showing you how that down in Rio de Janeiro about 3 years ago on the Great Earth Summit, that the environmentalists and the occult New Agers got married. And those two groups merged together, and it's one of the scariest movements in the world tonight. What communism cannot do, they're now going to do through the environmental crises. And if you'll notice, they're always hitting you with this stuff. I'm going to give you some statistics here in a few weeks, but they said when Bambi, the movie Bambi, came out and was aired, that killing of deer dropped in half right after that. Because the movie Bambi was to make you feel sorry for the poor little deer. They are now making you feel sorry for wolves, saying that wolves are misunderstood. I'm telling you what, one of them nuts, one scientist said that we should lock ourselves up and let all the animals roam free. Telling you now, I bet you that fella's 21 years old before he could wave bye-bye. Honest to goodness. That's the craziest thing I've heard of in my life. These are the kind of nuts we're dealing with. They believe it is. You will go to jail. You will go to jail if you bust an eagle egg. And that little eagle's inside of it, unborn, and you can bust that eagle egg. It's a crime. You'll go to jail. You can kill a human being before it's born. And they're fighting to keep that legal. And it's the same people. Same people believe it's wrong to kill an eagle before it's born, so you can kill your babies all day long in Asheville, Charlotte, wherever you want to, in an abortion hospital. I'm telling you, God is going to hold us accountable for the murder of 30 million babies since abortion was made legal in this country. The World War I, World War II, Vietnam couldn't touch with a 10-foot pole the slaughter of the innocents that we're seeing in our land. Our land needs healing today. Revival meetings like we're getting ready to have here in a couple of weeks are the only hope for this nation tonight. You say, well, Brother Danny, we're just a little spot here in Marion, which is a little spot in North Carolina, which is a little spot in the whole world. I know that. I know that. It seems like there's no way we could have an influence. But buddy, we got a big God. We got a mighty big God. He's the God that made the world and the sun and the stars and the moon and the planets. We seen the other day what he thought about cutting trees when that storm come. I know one thing. God don't agree with them bunch of nuts that don't believe in cutting trees. He knocked down 10,000 in McDowell County just for the fool of it. Didn't he? The Lord says, I'll just knock me down some trees. Blam! Just for no reason at all. It shows you what he thinks of trees. You know what he thinks about the environment? He's going to burn it up. Set it on fire and burn it up. 2 Peter chapter 3. That's a demon spirit messing with them people. Making them. The Bible said they'd worship the creation more than the Creator who is blessed forever. We're supposed to worship God, man. The earth ain't your mother. Let's save Mother Earth. How are you going to save? Man, look how big the earth is. You ain't going to save Mother Earth. She ain't your mother and you can't save her. I love what Sam Gipp said. Some of you are going to get mad at this, but it's because you spend more time watching TV than you do reading your Bible. Sam Gipp's out there in Oregon somewhere where they're saving bark gnats and flies and stuff like that. And they're saying, save our mother. We got to save our mother. He got on the radio and said, I spit on your mother today. Oh, goodness, that's awful. That's awful. You think what else happens on your mother if that's our mother? The earth ain't our mother, man. That's pantheism. Pantheism is the belief that creation is God, that God's in a rock, God's in a tree, God's in grass, God's in nature. God, that's His creation, that ain't Him. And we are the biggest enemies to that crowd because we don't believe that God is a part of His creation. We believe God's up here above His creation. So we're in their way. And, you know, they'll just be patient a little while. We're going to get out of their way. We'll be taken out of here. We'll be gone. Then they can do whatever they want to, and they'll be glad. But I tell you, we're in a mess. The truth is, tonight, most churches are no different after revival than they were before it started. That's true. That's why you almost feel guilty calling them revivals. That's why you just say a meeting, because that's about what most of it is, a meeting. How to have revival in a local church? Number one, humble themselves. Now, that seems simple enough, don't it? You know what you ask, how to have revival in a local church now? You ask them nowadays, they'll say, first thing you do, get a big name evangelist. First thing God says do, humble yourself. See how different we think than what God thinks? Here's the way they do it now. I tell you, we're going to have a different night, we're going to have family night, we're going to have pack a pew night, and we're going to have, now all that's fine, ain't nothing wrong with that. But that ain't what God said, humble yourself. God said hit the dust. God said get down. Now, just by way of illustration, how many churches do you think in McDowell County this morning where people got down like this on their face in front of God and cried and prayed like that right there? Not many. Can't you see big shots falling down on their face in front of God? I'm not going to do that. We believe in being dignified at our church. No, you believe in being petrified. There's a big difference. Being dignified don't mean sitting there like a knot on a log with your mind on the golf course or what you're going to do tomorrow. Or we better hurry and get out of here before the Presbyterians beat us to the steakhouse, you know, and stuff like that. That's not worshiping God.
That's not worshiping God. Listen, brother, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to say, oh God, we're in a mess. God, we're not what we ought to be. God, we're backslid. God, we're cold. God, we need you. God, I need you. You know when God helps me? God don't help me when I think I'm doing good. God helps me when I know that I'm messed up and I cry out to Him and I beg Him and I humble myself before God. Somebody said, hey, how long has it been since you told this to somebody? I was wrong. How long has it been since some of you people told somebody you're sorry? How long has it been since some of you men told your wife, I'm sorry, honey, I haven't been doing you right. Boy, that's hard for you guys to do that, ain't it? Man, you're so stubborn and knot-headed. I mean, you're just like that thing right there. Some of you men, I mean, you'd die before you'd tell your wife that you're sorry about. And that's exactly why God can't bless you. You will not humble yourself. That's hard for a man to do because it hurts our ego, don't it? And about the ladies, same way. I've had people tell me, say, Brother Danny, my wife never tells me she's wrong. Never says she's sorry. Well, I mean, you know, surely to goodness, once in a while you're wrong or you do something wrong. How about this? They say pride goeth before destruction, the Bible said. The way to a celestial city is through the valley of humiliation. They say God crowns with mercy, but it won't fit a swollen head. They say the devil is smart. They say the devil is smart. The devil will make you proud that you're not proud. You ever met anybody like that? Say, I'm more humble than anybody in our church. I know I'm the humblest of the humble. No, you're the proudest of the proud because you're proud of how humble you are. You ever heard these pious testimony when they say, well, I just, preacher, I don't want to do this, nothing wrong, and I just don't want to. And all the time they're just gloating in how humble they are. That makes God sick. Makes Him sick when you're just trying to impress somebody with how humble you are. That ain't nothing but pride in reverse, brother. And brother, you've got to humble yourself before God. There needs to be some confessing. There needs to be some getting right. There needs to be some getting down on our knees and asking God to help us and asking our brothers to forgive us. And I'm not one of these people that believes you ought to go to somebody every time a little thing happens. I believe if it's necessary, you should. But I put it this way. I don't think you should go. Sometimes I've had people come up to me and say, Brother Danny, forgive me for all the terrible things I've been saying about you. Now, you don't have to do that. I don't want to hear that. Because you know what? That's going to make me think bad about you. So unless I know it, just forget it, okay? Just get it right with God and get it right. You don't have to say, well, I've been thinking bad about so-and-so. I'm going to go tell them. No, there ain't no use in that. Now, if you and them's had an argument or something you need to get right, that's fine. That's fine. And that ought to be. If they know it and they know it, you know it. But there's no use. I walked in one time. A guy called me on the phone. He said, Danny. He said, I want you to know I still love you. I don't care what they're all saying about you. Well, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. Wow, did that make my day. You know, I know there's people in town that hate my guts. I know that. I've learned to live with that. I've learned to live with it. And I know, you know, I can walk through any town in McDowell County, and I can see them whispering, and I can see them, you know, there he is. And stuff like that. So what? Big deal. As long as I know I'm right with God and doing what God, that's fine. You don't have to go tell everybody anytime you think something bad about them. Just humble yourself before God. Get right with God. Pray before God. And don't worry about everybody else. Did you know you criticize the person that you secretly envy most of the time? Most of the time when you talk about somebody all the time, you're really jealous of them. It requires no talent, no work. Any lazy person can do it. You just got to make up your mind to humble yourself. Number two, the Lord said, pray and seek my face. Of course, He said, seek and ye shall find. Pray. Pray till you touch heaven. Well, we've been having some good prayer meetings. We had a good prayer meeting last night up here. Bunch of people come. Prayer meeting, had a good meeting, talked a little bit, prayed and sung a couple of songs, then went home. And boy, that really gets my heart ready. Feels good for the Sunday morning service. And I'll tell you, there's never been a revival that wasn't preceded by people praying. And I'm not just talking about, dear God, bless our revival and bless the preachers and help them to get here safe. I'm talking about people getting down and saying, God, we need it. God, my boy's backslid. God, my family. There's a lady here this morning. I don't think she's here this evening, is she? Just come walking in. Listen to this. Lady's here this morning. I don't know her name. Still up. My wife told me about her. She came walking in back there, and my wife just happened to spot her in the hallway and didn't recognize her and said, hey, and went up and introduced herself to her and said, you want to sit with me? And that lady said, sure. She came in and sat down. She'd never been here before, ever, ever. She got out of church from somewhere, from Old Fort or somewhere, and God, somehow or another, the Lord just put it on her heart to come. And she was drawn here this morning. She sat right over there this morning, sat beside my wife. And my wife made her feel comfortable and talked to her a little bit. And boy, I'll tell you what, God began to work in that lady's heart, I believe, this morning. She was excited about it, wants to come back. And you know what that is? I believe that's a result of somebody praying. Somebody praying. I mean, somebody in Old Fort just wake up and say, get down there at that church and go down there and get your clothes on. Get ready for church this morning. Get down there at the house of God. Listen, that's what brings revival meeting. That's what'll get our boys and girls in. That's what'll put families back together, is God working out in the community. And God can do it. God can do it if people will pray. Tell you what I heard. I heard a great preacher give the illustration one time. There was two women had lost husbands. And these two women really got under a burden for their husband. And they got together, they worked together. And they said, I tell you what we'll do. We'll covenant to meet together every day at lunch, at our lunchtime, and we're going to pray for our husbands. And that's what they did. They met, and for, I think, 3 solid years, they prayed that God would save their husbands. And nothing happened. Several more years went by. I think a total of 7 years, something like that. And a total of 10 maybe, 7 more years. They met every day, prayed for their husband. Nothing happened. But you know what? One night, one of those ladies heard of the door coming, the door slam at 3 o'clock in the morning. She heard her husband coming through the house. He come down on the side of her bed. He'd been out to a bar somewhere and fell down before the bed and said, honey, pray for me. I want to get saved. She jumped out of the bed and got down beside him and he got saved. 10 years of praying. And she'd clap her hands and said, hallelujah, thank God my husband's saved now. She said, I can't wait to tell my friend. I can't wait. This will encourage her. This will encourage her. She said, well, I don't want to call her at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll wait and go over first thing tomorrow morning. Next thing in the morning, she took off over to her friend's house to tell her the good news that her husband got saved. Lo and behold, she met her friend on her way over to her house. She stopped her on the side of the road. She said, you ain't going to believe. She said, no, wait, let me tell you. No, you listen. Yeah, you're not. Just wait a minute. And there, her other husband, the other lady's husband, come on that same night, fell on his face before God and got saved. 10 years of praying, but God did it. You say, that sounds impossible, preacher. There's nothing impossible with God. If we'll pray, if we'll just pray. Gypsy Smith, the great preacher, said, he said, if you want to start a revival, go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the floor, draw a circle around yourself with chalk, and ask God to start the revival inside that circle. And he said, when God moves on you and starts a revival in that circle, the revival will be on. That's all it takes. You know what our problem is? We're saying, boy, if old so-and-so would get right, we'd have a revival. And boy, I wish old so-and-so over there, if them young people, them mamas and daddies, them deacons, them Sunday school teachers, if a preacher, you know how you have a revival? You just say that old song, he's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I know who needs revival here. I need it. I know I need it. Humble ourselves. Pray. And seek His face. Humbly now, O Lord, I pray. Send revival here today. All my coldness, all my sin, all my doubtings deep within. Forgive them, Lord, and cleanse away. O send revival here today. Humbly, Lord, I ask of Thee, send this awakening through me. Emptied out of self and pride, Thy light no conserve will I hide. And, dear Lord, use me, I pray. Bring revival here today. The Lord said a third thing tonight, and I'll be through. Turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Now, I'm going to say to you tonight, church, I know what year it is. It's 1996. I know that. God's never changed His mind about sin and what wickedness is. God will not bless sin. God cannot bless sin. God never has, never will.
put His blessings on a sinful mess. You listen to me? One man in the Old Testament got sin, and it stopped the whole congregation of Israel from being blessed like they should. You sat here tonight. You could have the blood of people right here in this county on your hands at the judgment day because you refused to get right with God. You sat here Sunday morning. I'm looking at people here this evening. I'm not your judge, brother. I know God does that in your heart, but I'm looking at people here this morning. You will not get right with God. You will not get your heart right with God. You sat here, and it don't matter what I say or no other preacher. You know what you could be doing? You could be holding back the moving of God's Spirit. And we don't even know it now, but at the judgment, the Lord will call you out and say, right there is the man that stopped that church from just blowing out and reaching the whole country for God. Who are you here tonight? Who's the aching? Who's the guilty one? You know what your problem is? You've heard me preach this stuff so long that you've hardened your heart to where it don't even bother you. I'm telling you, God's going to ring your bell one day, bud. God's going to get you one day. Turn from their wicked ways. I know that most Baptist preachers have their own pet sins they preach against all the time, and that's just about impossible not to. The things that you feel like are worse, you naturally hit more, but some of them just narrowed it down to, you know, dress and hair and movies and things like that, and all of that needs to be addressed and mentioned. But there's a lot more things can be the world besides them things. Coon dog, fishing pole, a job, money. Anything that pulls you away from God can be an idol. Amen? Anything that takes first place in your life beside Jesus Christ. That's why I tell these kids all the time, they get boyfriend and girlfriend, you better learn how to keep Jesus first. Some of you girls live real good till you get a boyfriend, and then you don't live worth a flip. And that means you're putting your boyfriend ahead of God, and that means God's not pleased with it, and it's going to sour on you. Same way about a girlfriend. Same way about a husband or a wife or a dog or a car or anything. God's jealous. He wants first place in our life. Turn from our wicked ways. We need to take church serious. I told our Sunday school teachers, that's why you should be prepared when you walk in here on Sunday morning. That's serious business. You are standing representing the Lord God Almighty when you stand in front of them kids. Shame on you if you just throw a little old something together just to hand them on Sunday morning and not even have God on your life and be right with God. Shame on you as a Sunday school teacher. You ought to say, thank God I've got an opportunity to witness to these kids. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, feel God's love coming out of me for them. Turn from our wicked ways. It bothers me that men now, they know every football player. They know who he was traded from, every basketball player, how much he made, how many points he scores a game. They don't know the Ten Commandments or the 12 disciples. Couldn't even name them to you. What you study the most, what you know the best is what you study the most. What you study the most is what you enjoy the most. What you enjoy the most, what you love the best. And what you love the best is your God, man. It's your God. You ain't fooling nobody. If a man talks about hunting, fishing all the time and then never mentions the Lord and you're around him all the time, you know, somebody's going to talk about what they love. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I didn't say it's wrong to go hunting, fishing, nothing like that. But I'm just saying, God's first. You know what we got to do? If you've got habits, if you've got sins, if you've got things in your life that you know are not pleasing to God, we got to turn from it. You say, preacher, I've got right before and I slid right back. Well, do it again. Get right with God again. Get right with God. Wire this altar out. Get right with God. If all the sleeping folk will wake up, if all the lukewarm folk will fire up, if all the dishonest will confess up,
If all the disgruntled will sweeten up, if all the discouraged will cheer up, if all the depressed will look up, if all the estranged will make up, if all the gossipers will shut up, if all the dry bones will shake up, and all the soldiers will stand up, and all the church members will pray up, then you can have revival. Closing, I would say this evening. Any church can have God move in their heart in revival if they'll do three things. Number one, a few, it don't have to be everybody, a few Christians thoroughly get right with God. Don't hold back nothing. Two, them Christians bind themselves together to pray till God moves. And three, put themselves at His disposal to use as He sees fit. That means be willing to go knock on that door that God lays on your heart. Are you willing? By the way, if you put yourself at God's disposal, you're going to go tell somebody else. I'll guarantee you. He said when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you shall be witnesses. You ain't feel the Holy Ghost if you don't witness. That's what He does. That's the purpose of Him filling you in the New Testament. Shouting's all right. I love it and believe in it. But that they do that at rock concerts, brother. The evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to witness somebody. That's how you can have revival in your own heart. We need it. I was just thinking about a girl up here. I had to go to the jail and visit. Used to come here to our church some. She got on drugs real bad. Nearly destroyed her body. She lost so much weight. Scary when I saw her. She sat down there and I sat down. You know, you ever seen somebody like that? It just kind of makes you scared. You think, Lord have mercy, what's happened to them? And she said, Brother Danny, she said, one time. She said, I tried cocaine one time. And I'm hooked. And she said, don't listen to them people tell you that you can just fool with it, and it takes a long time. She said, one time. And I called her name and I said, what in the world are you going to do? I said, have you prayed and asked God to help you? And she said, yes, I've been praying. But she said, I'm scared that when I get out of here, I'll go right back to it. You know what? That's a demon spirit through drugs, alcohol. It's a demon that gets a hold on a person's life so strong that they have no power to resist it. And buddy, there ain't but one hope for folks like that. And that's a miracle of God coming through His church of working. That's it. This soft, mushy, contemporary Christian, that don't help people like that. That don't help people like that. They need dynamite, man. Blast it out with old-fashioned Bible, Holy Ghost, preaching, singing, shout. That's the only cure. And it'll do the job. It's up to us. It's up to us. I'd like for us to stand, bow our heads for prayer. I'm going to ask you tonight, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many would agree with me to pray? How many would agree with me to fast? How long you fast is between you and God, but at least a day, at least 24 hours, 36 hours or whatever, at least once or twice between now and revival meeting. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you, like they did in the Bible, sometimes the preacher would just get up and proclaim a fast. I'm going to ask you, how many of you will fast? How many of you will fast? You say, preacher, as the Lord lays it on my heart, this week, next, I'm going to fast. That God will get in here. Maybe some little girl like that you was preaching about a minute ago will get delivered. How to have revival in a local church. Pray. Seek my face. Humble ourselves. Turn from our wicked ways. You know what you can do? You can just sin and sin and sin and sin and get to the place where it don't bother you. Your conscience is seared with a hot iron. You better come and pray, God, put them tears back, put that fear back, put that hatred back in my heart for sin. Oh God in heaven, we pray right now that You'd bless us. Send a great move of Your Spirit, God, here in these next few days and weeks. Oh Lord. Nothing else matters. It don't matter. It don't matter what kind of shirt we got on or what kind of car we're riding in or
what our house, color our house is. Lord, that don't matter. All that stuff's just going to burn up one day. What matters will be the souls of men. Oh, God, put it on our hearts to reach them for Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's sing tonight.
Number 465.
Cleanse me, O God. Search me, O God. If you'll pray that prayer and mean it tonight, just gather around this altar tonight. There's still plenty of room. Just come on. Just come on from everywhere and gather around this altar tonight and say, God, I want to pray. Do a work.
Search me, O God, and know.
Let's sing it now, everybody.
Some wicked way in me.
Come on now.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
All right, let's sing now, everybody. Come on now.
Oh,
amen.
Send a revival.
Sure.
Start the work in me. Thy word declares.
Sing it.
Thou wilt supply our need.
You need to come. Come on tonight. Come on. Jesus can help you.